So how do we condition ourselves to really have our changes last? Let me share with you what I think the three fundamental key distinctions are that cause people to change when they do change and the change lasts. These are the three fundamentals of the science of neuroassociative conditioning systems. And here's number one. In order to get a change where it's going to absolutely happen and it's going to last, you must first get leverage on yourself. What do I mean by leverage? I mean you must get to the point where you believe that something must change, that you must change it, and that you can change it right now. You got to get to the point where you feel like not changing would be painful, massively painful. And to change would mean pleasure. In other words, you got to use all things we've talked about up until now. You've got to get that connection. If you're only at the point of believing that you should change, or you could change, or you ought to change, or you might change, that is not enough to create long-lasting change in most cases. So you got to get yourself to the point where you've got leverage. And there are lots of ways to get it. Some people will change out of rapport. You know, they go to a therapist, they really like the therapist wants them to change, so they do. I mean, it literally can be that simple sometimes. Some people change because, God, if they don't, they're going to lose everything. Some people, in spite of all kinds of pain, still don't change because in their head they think, I don't have to. Or they think, I'm doing this because somebody else wants me to. Or they think in their head, well, gosh, you know, changing would be too fearful, too painful. So in order to make a change last, you got to get to that point where it must change, you must change it, and you can change it. That is number one. I'll give you an example. When people come to me sometimes for private consulting, and I've trained all kinds of other people to do this work now, so I don't do private consulting, but invariably I still have a few people that want to do it with me personally for whatever reason, or no one else has seemed to get in the results, so I'll take the challenge on personally. Well, first of all, I make it very difficult for these people to ever get to the point of working with me in the first place. I make them have to go through a waiting list, so hopefully they'll decide to change on their own. I make them have to pay a fairly large chunk of money to be able to do this as well. But even after all of that, when they finally come and they've flown out to meet me and we're sitting down face to face, I then will turn to them and say, look, I don't know if this is the right thing for you. And they'll say, what? I'll say, look, before you invest any more time or any more capital, and before I invest my time, I got to know that you're really absolutely committed to changing. Because I got to tell you something. I only work with people that are going to change right now, not after 15 sessions. I do one-stop therapy, and that's what we've got to do. Otherwise, you'll screw up my entire record. And usually they'll laugh at that. But I'll say, I'm serious. I won't work with you unless I'm convinced you must change. Not you should, not you might, but you must. I then have them go on and they got to convince me. They're taken back a little bit, but for the next 15 minutes, they got to try and convince me how they absolutely must change their life. Because if they don't, it'll cost them this in their relationship. It'll cost them this in their health. It'll cost them this in their self-esteem. It's already cost them all these areas and they're tired of it and they can't take it anymore. You remember the movie, don't you? I'm mad as heck and I'm not going to take it anymore. You got to get to that point. That's called leverage. That's when change happens. And you know what? When they're to that point, my job is easy. I simply go to step two. What's step two? I simply interrupt their present limiting associations, their limiting pattern of association. So for example, somebody's got a phobia, and what happens? Right now, when they see an elevator or even think of one, they have a patterned way of responding. They have an immediate association, and that association is elevator equals ultimate pain, and immediately their body freaks out. So what do? Well, I first got them to leverage so that I know they're gonna change and I know they're committed to it. And then I do whatever it takes to change that association, to interrupt that pattern. So the minute they start thinking about, let's say, this elevator, and they start to freak out, all of a sudden I reach over and I say, stand up. And they go, huh? And I say, stand up. And right at that moment, it interrupts their pattern. And I say, okay, sit down. And they sit back down again. And I say, well, tell me about this elevator thing. And they go, huh? And sure enough, they start to go into the thing again. And all of a sudden, I ask them a question. Let me ask you a question. Right in the middle of them thinking about the elevator. Would you eat a bowl of live crickets for $40,000. Instantly, what happens? Their brain goes, what? And again, I've interrupted the pattern. I'll do all kinds of things. The key to interrupting somebody's pattern is you want to do something they don't expect, something that will jolt them. It's kind of like, have you ever been so caught up in a conversation that you were like totally immersed in it? And then somebody came by, stood right next to you, asked you a question, and had nothing to do with what you're talking about. In order to answer them, you went over here and answered them, and you came back, and you couldn't remember what you were talking about? Have you ever had that happen? Even when you were like real committed to talking about this particular thing, what it did is that person interrupted your pattern, and it was hard for you to get back to it. I mean, think of it this way. If you interrupt somebody's pattern enough, eventually they can't ever get back to it. Think of your mind as being like a jukebox. And in that jukebox, you have a zillion little records. And these records, at any moment in time, you can play any one of them. And depending upon which one you play will determine how you feel. So if you played a sad song record, you're going to feel lousy. If you play a positive record, you're going to feel really great. The challenge is, for a lot of us in life, something happens and it like pushes our buttons, and instantly we start playing one of these records, one that makes us feel sad or feels frustrated or feels angry. And what we've got to learn to do, though, is interrupt those patterns, to change those records. What would happen if I took a record out of your brain, a memory, if you would, or a pattern, and I took that record and I just started scribbling across it? I took a knife and went across it, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You'll never be able to play that record the same way again. That's called interrupting somebody's pattern. I'll give you another simple example. I was doing a seminar one time, and this woman came up to me. We had just done a session, it was pretty powerful, on relationships. And she came up to me and she said, "Mr. Robbins," she said, "I've got this problem with my husband and I, and we really," and she began to cry like crazy. Now, I really care about people very deeply. So initially, in the early days of my really working with people, I would immediately say, hey, please relax, it's okay. Please don't worry, whatever it is, we'll work it out. You know what the problem with that is? That's what everybody does. So rarely does that interrupt somebody's pattern. In other words, they expect you to say, it's okay. And it doesn't usually change the pattern. They go, well, yeah, I guess you're right. And then they go and run the pattern again. Does that sound familiar? So what I now learn to do is jolt people to literally interrupt their pattern so they can't get back into it, to change their neuroassociation radically. And I do it in some pretty outrageous ways. So she comes up and says, "Mr. Robbins, I just, my husband and I, we go," and she starts to cry, and I was drinking a glass of water. So I took the glass and went, shh, and I dumped this water on her. She jumped about 4 feet. She said, "What are you, crazy? What are you doing?" I said, "Oh, nothing." And I just smiled. And I said, "Tell me about you and your husband." And she said, "What?" And now she's laughing while she thinks about her husband and herself. Ah, whole new pattern. And she goes, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Well, tell me about you and your husband." And I smile and I drink a little more of my water. She goes, "You're a little crazy." I said, "Well, that's true, but go ahead and tell me." So she thinks for a few moments, and she goes, "Well, my husband and I," and all of a sudden she's fine about it. "Well, we've been having some problems." And I said, "But no, you were crying before. Remember, you were crying." And I tried to get her back there, and she said, "Oh, yeah, well, that's because of that." She started crying again. I took my one, shh, I nailed her again. I mean, this time her makeup is kind of dripping right there, people standing around. Now, by the way, you shouldn't try this unless you've got some strong rapport skills as well, right? And got a strong connection. But she knew I cared, even though I seemed a little crazy. And she started laughing. She goes, "What are you doing? That's crazy." And she's dripping the stuff off her face. I said, "Nothing. Just tell me about you and your husband." She says, "Oh, we're fine." I said, no, come on, tell me. I got to tell me one more time. Well, a little bit more water. After that, anytime she thought about her husband, she started to crack up. She said, "We're absolutely fine." That's called leverage and interrupting somebody's pattern. The water was the leverage, and the pattern interrupt happened over and over again until pretty soon she couldn't play it again. When she thought about her husband, she started to laugh. And out of laughter, she was able to come up with some better solutions on her own. She wasn't stuck in the pattern. Does that make sense? We've got to interrupt our pattern to create new results. And that's exactly what this is about. The third key to creating a long-term change then is, once you've got leverage, it must change. Once you've interrupted your present pattern, then the third key is you've got to condition yourself to have a new association, a new empowering association. So what I got this woman to do, for example, was I got her to link laughter to her relationship. By having laughter, all of a sudden, again, she's able to deal with the situation. Or with somebody with a phobia, I get them to think of times in their life when they felt incredibly strong and powerful. And I get them to associate feeling strong and powerful to, let's say, taking the elevator ride. And I do it over and over again and condition them until pretty soon when they think of the elevator ride, they feel powerful. What happens? They feel differently, they behave differently, the problem is handled. And this can be done with virtually anything as long as you get enough leverage.